This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This evening, I've really felt for a while now to speak a little bit about the Holy Spirit, and it's something that I'm passionate about. The person, the Holy Spirit, and the topic of the Holy Spirit. But normally when we speak about the Holy Spirit in today's age, we focus on one side of the Holy Spirit. And the side we sell, if I can use that word, is the power of the Holy Spirit. And we focus on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that's really, really awesome and most necessary. But if we're only going to focus on one side, we're going to miss a large part of who the Holy Spirit is. So tonight I'd like to bring a little bit of a foundation of who the Holy Spirit is. And as you see, I entitled it Holy, 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 coming from Revelations 4, verse 8, where it says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Isn't that beautiful? That's one of the scriptures that we should daily ponder on and meditate and repeat it over and over and over. So when I mention the Holy Spirit, what goes to your mind? How do you think of the Holy Spirit? For some of us, we think of the upper room experience. We think about the tongues. We think about Pentecost. We think about Acts 2. We think about fire. For some of us, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of the dove, as we see in Luke 3, where the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Christ like a dove. For some of us, we think of the Holy Spirit as water, or even like wind. For the charismatics who have the gift of discernment of spirits, we think of a horse. See a beautiful horse. I drew that all weekend. I'm joking. I'll get Jeremy to draw it for us. There are many different symbols that represent the Holy Spirit. We see the dove, we see oil, the anointing, cloud, seal or a ring, water, wind, fire, and the hand. So my question this evening for us is the following. What is the Holy Spirit? And for those of us that's done Bible school, we know the better question is, who is the Holy Spirit? Now, for many of us, we understand the Father God. It kind of makes more sense, right? So even if you've had a bad experience from a natural father, you still understand a father, right? Are we here together? Is it just me? Well, then I get that a little bit easier. And for me, with Christ, right, it was a man, it was God, came in a man form, and he died for my sins, he's my Savior. And that's easy enough, all right. Hey, is that easy enough? Christ died on the cross for us. But then there's this thing called the Holy Spirit. And we've seen maybe on YouTube how someone either falls in the Spirit or praying in tongues. It's just this weird thing, this Holy Spirit thing. And so the way we normally deal with things like this is we just don't go there. You just don't go there. It's easier. So tonight, we're going there.
Amen.
And I'm really hoping that God will come and open up a part of the Holy Spirit that we've not been able to recognize and see yet. Amen? All right. So we're going to have to pray. for about 3 hours, and then we... We want to know you. We want to look like Christ. Come tonight and touch our hearts. Touch our minds. Meet with us where we're at, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are faithful. We come and feed of the faithfulness, the Spirit of God. Come and dwell in us. Come and speak to us. Come and meet each one of us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Many of us lose our fire as we go along the road. I was making jokes with Stefan this again at my sermon this evening. Thank you, Stefan. God bless you for coming twice. Steve, always here twice. God bless you. And I was making the joke. So when I started in Shofar back in the 90s, the Lord forgive all of us, we end on missions. And if you're on missions, for those of you that do missions these days, you are so blessed. We had to do dances. Yes, you remember those, right? And the worst thing was, we went and danced in India. Okay, now let me explain something to you if you don't know anything about Bollywood. I don't know if you've ever seen. They all dance. Incredible. So we're dancing for unity, and I never got that because they obviously never saw how we danced. It was horrible. I mean, I was going in the wrong direction every time. I was about 15 steps behind. And I remember Jan Kor was on the team, and we had this moment in this one church. It's a tiny little church, and we've got the whole teams up here, like all 15 of us. And so, and part of the thing is you've got to go backwards and you've got to go down, you've got to kick up behind you. But we're up against the stage, and like the three of us, and it was just a mess. And we're standing, and we just lost it. We started canning ourselves, laughing. So hopefully they thought we were laughing in the spirit, but there was no spirit of laughter there. And then Jan Kor comes up to the front, for those of you who know him, and he says, "Wasn't that lovely?" And I'm going, "No, dude, it wasn't lovely. It was a disaster. We need to repent." But the zeal that we had back then, and the joy when we'd wake up 6 o'clock in the morning to come together to practice these dances. And 20 years later, cruising to church, cup of coffee, dagse, lekker, hey. But have we lost our zeal? And so I'm going to do what I normally do. I'm going to preach something that's not going to feel like it's going to fit in totally, but it will. Amen. So we're starting in Matthew 25. Jesus is speaking what the kingdom is like, and he's mentioning a whole lot of things. And then he gives us this little parable. That the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." When all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there were not enough for us and you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were gone to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins, the other five, came also saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Can we go to the previous slide? What we notice immediately is that they're all 10 virgins. All 10, the wise and the foolish, they're all virgins. It's not the virgins and the non-virgins. Or the virgins and men, or they're all virgins. What we notice is that they all became drowsy and they all fell asleep. And this is the beautiful thing. At midnight, a cry goes out. Now, I have this obsession with the word zenith. It's the highest point something can reach. And midnight is the zenith hour. Midnight speaks always about Christ returning. I want to say for many of us, we hear the cries at different times. Some of us have heard the cries, others haven't heard the cry yet. But all of us will hear the cry of one shouting out, at that moment, Christ is returning. And as we were going through that list, one of the things that oil represents is the Holy Spirit. Will you still be full of God and passion when He returns? Will you have enough oil? I believe that many in the church, in the larger sea, have moved away from this. We're seeing it in the doctrines that we're allowing in church. That instead of having oil, we're rather getting other things. Our concern these days is my house and my car and my investments and my job and all these things that clutter and clutter and clutter and take space to the point that there's no more space. Have you ever been tested on a word of God? I gave the sermon this morning and afterwards, we went to go and buy lunch because typically, like on Sunday, there's nothing left in the house. And my ultimate motorbike pulls up there, right there, that absolute idol of my heart. And I was walking to spar, and it just like a magnet drew me. And I had this conversation with this guy, and I'm going, Lord, I need to listen to that sermon from this morning. And I look at this guy, and I go, he's probably going to think I'm weird if I start repenting. I tell, hey, dude, I love your bike. It's amazing. It's awesome. We're having this conversation, but I just need to repent to you and tell you, like, I'm so sorry. Can you imagine how easy it is we come ensnared in the world and the things, and we fall asleep, we become drowsy, because when we first saved, we can't wait for Christ to come back. You're not asking, where's my children, Lord, I want grandchildren. You're like, come Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Jesus. A few years later, we go, oh, I'd really love to see my children grow up. There's nothing wrong with that. Please, you do want to see your children grow up. And I'd love to give my daughter away one day. Obviously, I feel sorry for that man. I'm praying for him already. But do I still have the cry for the bridegroom to return. Then we move on to Luke 17, and this is one of the scriptures that I've been milling through the scripture for a while now, and it's just been sitting in my spirit, and I just feel we need to go through this tonight. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. Christ is busy returning to Jerusalem. He's preparing himself for what's about to come. He knows that he's going to be crucified. He knows that that everyone's going to forsake him. And he's walking towards this reason, this purpose that he's on this earth for us. And we find that on the way he has this moment. As he entered the village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Let's stay there. I'll carry on now. Few things. We see that they recognize Christ as the Master. They know who Christ is. They've heard the stories. Now, for those of you that don't know anything about leprosy and how it worked in those days, leprosy was the worst curse you could receive. It was seen as an absolute curse. It was almost as bad as being dead. Now, you're not allowed to touch a dead body. As soon as you touch a dead body, you're unclean, and you had to go and clean yourself. And they were seen as permanently unclean. And what they had to do is they had to wear certain clothes that identified them as lepers. And whenever they'd come through a city, they'd have to scream, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," so that everyone could make way so that no one would touch them. That was the life they had. They had no community. They had no friends. They had the 10 of them, and that's it. They weren't able to just walk in the city. They weren't able to just go quickly down to Spa or to Pick and Pay or to Food Lovers Market and get something to eat. They were cursed. The beautiful thing about what happens here is when John the Baptist sends his disciples to Christ, he says, "Are you the Messiah?" Christ says a few things that he does, and he says one of them to fulfill prophecies that he's healing the lepers. See, before Christ, there's only a few times in Scripture that people will ever, like a handful of people, that were ever cleaned, healed of leprosy. That's how hardcore it was. But here they put out their faith. All 10 of them put out their faith and they say, "Lord, Master, Jesus, Savior, heal us. Heal us." And according to Scripture and according to the law, if you were sick and you were healed, you had to go to the priests and they would declare if you were healed or not. Many of us today, we claim a healing, but we don't go to the doctor to see if we're actually healed. It's the same as going to the doctor. So you've got cancer and you go to the doctor, the doctor looks and there's no more cancer and he can declare it's a miracle. So Christ is saying, "Go." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. We see all 10 of them had the faith. And let's carry on. Verse 15. One of them, when they saw he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell at the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And then there's this little phrase. This man was a Samaritan. He was not one of the Jewish people who was waiting for the Messiah. See, all the Jews knew a Messiah was coming. They were waiting for Messiah. But a Samaritan man recognized who Christ truly was, came back, and with gratitude he fell before Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And so Jesus does what he normally does. He throws his curveballs at us. And he asks this man, Jesus says, "Do you not heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And then Jesus does something that only the Messiah can do. And Jesus says to the man, "Stand up and go, for your faith has healed you." In the NIV, the phrase there is "made you well," but the King James is the one that says it better. "Made thee whole." The Greek word there is sozo. And in this context and meaning, it speaks to preserve, to rescue from natural disaster and affliction, to save from harm, to persevere, safe or free from disease. And sozo often speaks about salvation. See, the rest of them knew who the Messiah was. They called him Christ. They called him the Master. "Lord, heal us." And what did they do? They carried on with life. They just carried on. And Christ doesn't hold it against them. He just asks, "Where are they?" But this Samaritan man gets something more. He finds his Messiah. So many of us, when we come to Christ, we come like the 10 lepers. You've got to see yourself in that position. "Lord, I need a healing. Lord, I need a raise. Lord, I need a new job. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need a girlfriend. Lord, I need a boyfriend. Lord, I need that boy to leave me alone. Lord, I need a miracle." And then Christ, in his absolute goodness, gives you the miracle. And you move on. We move on. "Thank you, Jesus," and we move on. I enjoy the joke. I can't remember who says it. You know, it's when you're looking for that parking spot. My wife, she wants to always park at the door. I'm like, "We need exercise. Park at the back." you get a little bit of weightlifting. But in any case, she wants to park in the front. So we want to park in the front. "Lord, I pray for parking." "Oh, never mind, there, car pulls out." Get it? No? Do I need to explain it? We ask for these miracles, and when God's good enough, we start with the next miracle. And the next thing, and the next thing. "Lord, I need a raise. Thank you for the raise. Lord, I need a new job. Because I don't like this job, even though I got the raise." We're always praying for the next and the next and the next and the next. We've got this beautiful wish list, this bucket list for Jesus. But we never come to a place of true gratitude, true joy, fullness. When we come to our right minds and we sit at the feet of Jesus and we go, "Lord, thank you. In the same way, the Lord gives us His Spirit. And we go, I'm okay because I got what I want. And instead of the Holy Spirit, I'd rather have a Mustang. There's more Mustangs in Durbanville than any place in South Africa. I come from Cape Town. I didn't see as many Mustangs. There's more Mini Coopers in Durbanville than in the whole of the world. Every third car is a Mini Cooper. It's a freak of nature. Do yourself the favor. Play a game. Count Mini Coopers. And every other car is a Fortuner. That's the three cars that is here. I thought every morning we got this Mustang that seems to go past like 10 times every morning. And I realized there must be 10 Mustangs. Because there's otherwise, you know, you hear it before you see it. A Fortuner you see before you hear. I think it's so big. I mean, it's huge, right? I got this friend, and he said something. So he was dating this girl, and it was going really well. You know, going well. And he's thinking, I'm going to put a ring on it. And he's really excited. And so he says the following to her. Men, never say this to a woman ever. He says to her, I'm looking so forward to suffering well with you. A week later. Thanks. I don't think this is going to work out. Cheers. And she left him. And it's funny, except what he did was very biblical. Because we don't want to suffer. Who here like would like suffering rate? How much, if the Lord had to send you a survey or like you do an ansuk, you apply, like you have to apply for fiber, amount of suffering, would you like 10 megs per second? Would you like 8 megs, 200 megs? Yeah, I want the 200 megs of suffering per minute, per second, whatever. That sounds good to me, Lord, right? No one wants that. No one. No one goes like, Lord, I don't think I've suffered enough. Could we add a bit more suffering? See, Christ gives us His Spirit so we can get through things. But most of the time, we don't want to get through things. We want a quick heal. I gave a teaching a while back in a place I'm not going to mention. But it was younger people. And I gave this teaching and I was so grieved in my spirit and I didn't know what it was. Couldn't work out what it was that was grieving me. And it took me a good number of months to get the answer. Here's the answer. They wanted the Holy Spirit so they can have power, and that's it. We want the Holy Spirit because we want power. Because we don't want to have to suffer. We don't want anything to go wrong. Because if I'm sick, I just want Jesus to heal me now and then. I don't have to ever worry about being sick. And if I'm struggling, Jesus heal me now. It's McDonald's. Go read about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Long suffering. Long suffering. And the millenniums can't deal with that. It's over the millennium sense. Most of it's of our heads. We don't like that. Like I said, we don't want suffering. You hear what I'm saying? What I'm not saying is don't desire to move in the gifts. Don't desire to heal. God wants to heal, and we need to move in the gifts. It's one of the things I'm the most passionate about is seeing people moving in the gifts. But what I'm saying is don't make it one side. We cannot make it a one-sided affair. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, For you were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body. Earlier in Corinthians, I don't have it up there, it says, Do you not know that your body that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Many of us, we go into striving. Right? Right? No? Don't know? Okay. So, Bernie, so for me to get this Holy Spirit thing and to get this whole thing, what I need to do, I need to read the Bible. So I need to read more Bible. So we make more time for Bible. Unfortunately, most of us, give me a Bible, someone. Jamie, you guys always have a Bible. You're awesome. There you see. All right. We take this Bible and it sounds like this. And we get through three sentences and we're dying. It's really dry. It's like a savanna. It's just dry. And it's dead. But we can't admit that and we can't say that. You can't say that. You can't admit that. Lord, speak to me in the word of God, the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of. Lord, I'm not any of the sons of those people, so what are you saying? And you go to a Songs of Solomon. No, don't go there, especially if you're still single. And we go over and we get a nice psalm and we read a nice psalm and we prop this up and at least I got something out of it. But if we're honest, it's dead. So then what do? We get more reading plans, we try to do more things, and we strive and we strive and we strive. Ladies and gentlemen, good news. Striving leads to quenching. Stop striving. Sad to say, but being a certified believer can sometimes result in spiritual deafness. Can I do experiment tonight in church? Is everyone ready? Who wants to do experiment in church? Ooh, oh, wow. The back people. No hands at all. I saw people looking at the door now. If we can just ask the ushers to keep people at the door. I'm just joking. I'm going to do something here. I'm going to play us a video clip. Oh, it's not that bad after all. And I'm not going to have any music. And I want you to tell me what you feel when you watch this. All right? Can we have that video clip? We're just going to show 30 seconds of it. All right, let's stop it there. And you're going to need to rewind it. What did you feel when you saw that now? Nothing. Meh. Right? Not much. You agree? Hands up who felt that. Not much. No, you didn't feel much. It was like, yeah, whatever. And the rest of you, you felt something? Little something? Little intrigue? Little, okay, that's interesting. Little bit, oh, that lady had lovely hair. She's got a bit of a nod. Okay. Was anyone touched in their deepest part? One hand. Oh, wow. The doctor would be because I understand what's going on. The clip I showed you is of Haiti and what happened in Haiti many years ago. I think it was 2010. Can I show you the clip again with music? And then I want you to tell me what you feel. How did you feel now? Who was touched in their inner core? Who was touched in their being? Who felt, I want to be a difference? Who felt, I want to go help those people? Who felt that something's wrong, we've got to go do something? Who felt that? Right? Ladies and gentlemen, we walk around without the Holy Spirit. And it's dry and it's dead and we struggle. And I hold before you like this music clip that changes and transforms when you give space for the Holy Spirit. When that Word of God comes alive. When you wake up with a cause. Like David, he wakes up and he says, is there not a cause? When you go to work and you see the lepers, you see the people struggling, and your heart is just touched because you can only hear the music of God. When you see a beggar on the street and you're not looking for 20 bucks to get rid of him. God bless, goodbye. And I feel great because I gave her away money. That we touched the core to say, can I not make a difference? I hold before the Church of Jesus Christ, we've turned off the music of God. My sheep hear my voice. We've grown drowsy. We've fallen asleep. And we no more hear the voice of God. We do programs because we need to do programs. And we fill ourselves with ministry because I need to do something. And I'll pray for 14 people. I won't be touched once. I won't feel for the person. You just think, praise God, that's not me. We count our lucky stars and we move on. And I want to say to us, as the Church of Jesus Christ, there's a beautiful song that the Holy Spirit plays. And He wants to invade your quiet time. He wants to invade your life. He wants to come in. For many of us, we know the Bible is full of truth. We just can't get there. We can't experience it. We can't connect. And what I'm not saying is that you need to have a goosebump experience every time you open the Word of God. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying that God wants to touch you, that when you go to your work, that you are open to hear when someone needs prayer. When you look at that secretary or that security guard and you can see their demeanor is down. Or when one of your colleagues are unnaturally rude. And you know, but this is not a rude person. Maybe I should just ask, are you all right? Can I pray for you? What's going on? I care. Because Christ cares. And in that moment, we give space for the Holy Spirit just to minister to people. He saved us, not because of our works, not because of what we've done, not by our righteousness, but according to His own mercy, He washed away our sins. Giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. Can we go to that list I have up there? Who's the Holy Spirit? Here's a few things, and you've got to excuse me. I'm as a human, trying to tell you a few things about how and who the Holy Spirit is. And I, in my fallible way, have come up with some of these scriptures. He helps us. He guides us. He teaches us. He speaks. He reveals. He instructs. He testifies of Christ. He comforts us. He calls us. He fills us. He lives in us. He frees us. He renews us. He gives us gifts. He produces fruit in us. He leads us. He convicts. He satisfies us. He strengthens us. He prays for us. He prophesies through us. He bears witness of the truth. He brings joy. He brings freedom. He brings all these things. Are these not the things we're always asking? Lord, please can I have joy? Please can I be full? Please can I move in the gifts? Please can I cast out demons? Please can I see Jesus? Please, please, please. Is it not the role of the Holy Spirit? In our lives, He's there. Within us. I hold before you, for most of your challenges and your questions and your struggles, the answer is within you. It's the Holy Spirit. And if we're able to take the throttle off the motorbike or the foot off the petrol or whatever vehicle you use, and we can just give Christ that space, we can just give the Holy Spirit that space to let go of the reins of your life, I'll put these scriptures with Holy Spirit. It's 33 of them. There's a lot more. There's just 33 I brought to us. I'll send it to your small group leader. Proverbs 27 verse 7. Reading from the NLT, I feel it explains it the best. A person who is full refuses honey. If you are full of God, no matter how sweet anything will be, you will be satisfied. But even bitter food like McDonald's tastes sweet to the hungry. I don't care how strong a person you are, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you have not eaten and you've been going all day and you ride past McDonald's, it is amazing. Your hunger kicks in, right? Or KFC. I mean, you know you're going to eat that KFC and you're not going to be able to sleep for a week. You buy a KFC, you got to like take that chicken and it's like Holy Spirit everywhere. It's oil, oil, oil. If you need to pray for someone and you don't have oil, KFC. But if you are full of God, if you have give all that space to the Holy Spirit, you will be satisfied. You'll have that joy. You'll have that fulfillment. And as we're starting to draw to an end in the next hour, the Lord, many years ago in Shofar Stellenbosch, we were still in the Stellenbosch High School, and we had 4 services. And I remember the one of the morning services, the Lord gave me this word, and I came and shared it in the front of the church. And it's a simple word as we go to the horseshoe. As I said earlier, a horse often represents the Holy Spirit. And I had this dream of this horse. And he was coming, and then there was a vision of this old European-looking city. I don't know if you've been to Belgium or to Brugge. It looks like that. It's these cobblestones, beautiful city. And the next scene, I see Jesus with this piece of metal, and he's bending this metal into a horseshoe. See, as most of us know, a horse can't walk on cobble. So he needs the horseshoe. And the Lord said to me so clearly that He's called us to be the horseshoe, to take the Holy Spirit into those places that need God. And then the Lord revealed to me that so many of us, we don't want the bending. We don't want that persecution. We don't want to change. It's hard. I don't know if any of you ever saw those NFL, those ice hockey adverts. Have you ever seen any of them? They're so hot. So they are seen as the hardest guys in the world, right? I mean, they're always like crashing to each other. And so the idea is that the fans are preparing for the season, and then the guy would stand there and someone's smashing the door over and over and over on his hand, and he just stands there. because he's just preparing for the season to come. No one in their right mind does that. If you've ever closed a car door on your finger, yes, you don't go, huh? Oh, okay, maybe I should remove that. You immediately pull it away. As I said earlier, we don't like persecution. We don't like to struggle. We don't like to change. The Lord wants to mold you into that perfect horseshoe so you can fit on it, that we can take God to dark places. In one sense, you guys know by now my pet hate is people leaving the country because they're over this country. In one sense, it's beautiful because they want to leave because it's dark. Right? South Africa's dark. And we are the light. And we are called to be in dark places. So I'm very thankful that people say it's dark. There's a job to be done. And they want to go to light places. I don't want to be in light places. I want to be in dark places. I get excited in dark places. Because it's in dark places that I have to change. It's in dark places that I need the Spirit of God more than anything else. For many of us, we have to go in faith to work. Because we have to drive through scary parts. Some of our doctors here work in Khayelitsha. Do you know that a doctor has been murdered on their way to work? 400 meters from our doctor's work here. You got to have faith to go in there. I love the fact that we do outreaches in Delft. That we do work in Delft and we're helping the kids in Delft. It's a dark place. There's lots of crime. There's lots of violence. Because I need the Holy Spirit if I'm going into those places. We are called to take the presence of God into the world. The fragrance of God. Where people can taste and see that the Lord is good. How are people going to taste and see if the Lord is good if we're not there? Of course God will make it happen. He'll make the stones cry out. He doesn't need us, but He uses us. He wants to use us. And all we have to do is just give a little bit more space for God. Just take one step back. And another step back. Lord, I want victory in this place where I've got this sin. And the reason I want victory is because I want to help others. Because I want to be a blessing. Because I want to be the truth. I want to be more like Christ. I can't do it by myself. I've tried over and over and over. Holy Spirit, please come in. Come and help. Two more slides. Your boldness in Christ is directly proportionate to your intimacy with Christ. I want to invite you to this. This weekend I was with my folks. We as a family went all to Stellenbosch. And my folks are there. And Ryan's kid and my kid were playing together. And it's really a great time for family time. And you know what's great about my family? When I come home to my parents, I don't ask permission to open the fridge. And they've got one of those fridges. Yeah, you need both arms. And then you look, and the problem is, like, my mom's a really good cook, so everything is there, but you can't eat anything. You know that problem? Like, it still needs to be cooked. Everything. Like, no, I'm not going to eat raw that and raw that and raw carrots and raw. But the point is, I don't have to ask permission because I've got relationship. I've got intimacy with my parents. Amen? But wouldn't it be a little bit strange if I came and did Heisbesuch? Okay, the pastor kom kuier, and I come to your house and I say, hey, it's really nice to be here. Thank you so much. And I walk straight to your fridge. You're going to look at your wife and say the following. We're out of here. The shofar thing is over. This guy is weird. I don't have that relationship with you. You don't have that relationship with me. I mean, I love Ross, but I still look at him a bit strange if he just comes to my house and helps himself in the fridge. You know what I love about this church? Whenever we have a function here, people immediately go to the fridge here. You know what that means? It means we've got relationship. It means it's home. That's what that actually means. It's a beautiful thing. So with the intimacy, with the relationship, comes that boldness. The Holy Spirit gives us that boldness. It is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It is in... I'm going to read this right. It is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that Christ is revealed. The Holy Spirit, the fellowship of Him, reveals Christ to you and to me. That's why I'm so bold. That's why when you phone me up in the middle of the night and you tell me someone's levitating, true story, someone's levitating this high off the ground, I get excited. Back in the day in Stellenbosch, a new res started, Metanoia. Where's Louis? Louis? Yeah, Metanoia. And it was an interesting time. And I got my first phone call because there was manifestations. It was just a warfare. And the first night I arrive and I say, all right, everyone, I'm going to teach you how it works. This is how it works. And everyone's panicking and freaking out. And we just take authority and it stops. Amen. About a week or two later, I get a phone call. Someone's levitating. Literally levitating this high. So you know what I tell them? Awesome, deal with it. And I put down the phone. True story. Because I've showed them. We've done this. And guess what they did? They couldn't rely on me. They had to rely on God and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was faithful. Because He always is. They made space. They took boldness. So yeah, sometimes some strange stuff does happen. The point is, we can have boldness because we can have intimacy. When something goes wrong, pray first. Pray first. This is my prayer for all of us. What a beautiful, beautiful prayer. What a beautiful thing that Corinthians ends with, 2 Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's my prayer for us tonight.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.